Hello and welcome to HD Movie Talk. I am your host, Deans Beans. And as always, I'm joined by a very confused looking Harlan Duffy. If you're not watching the video, you just missed out on a moment that is staying in the recording, which is Harlan chasing his cat out of the room.
That was not my cat.
Oh, was it not?
It was my family's. That wasn't Ned. I'm wearing Ned pants right now. Do you want to see?
Yeah.
Sorry to our audio listeners.
Oh, that's cute.
His name's Ned.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm keeping that in because that was good. We're here with episode 6, I believe, of our little series where we take a movie or a TV show or whatever and we sequelify it and we make a sequel.
These ones are fun. I think these ones, like, I look most fondly back at.
They're good fun. And I believe this is the first sequelify we've done when we're not doing a number two in the series. We're not doing a poo.
Yes, this is true. We're not doing a poo. We're
three, which is a weirder poo.
That's one way to put it.
I've ruined this.
All right, podcast over. Thanks, guys. Adios.
Yeah, okay. That doesn't count as your adios, by the way. Weird.
I think it should.
I didn't think it does.
Could you imagine the first thing we say in the podcast? It's adios.
Anyway, what we're doing is we're coming up with a sequel to Knives Out and Glass Onion. We are coming up with the third installment in the Knives Out trilogy, as I have named it. Really inventive name.
That's the title.
Yeah, and we're going to come up with a cast, and we're going to come up with a rough plot, and then we'll send this to Rian Johnson, and Netflix, because obviously there's two of us. Do we want 2/3 of the 100 million that Netflix sent him, or just half?
I think it would only be fair if it was half. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because he did do Glass Onion, I guess. So
yeah,
we can get 25 million each. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. I mean,
I get 30, you get 20, because I'll edit this.
That's fair. Okay. I guess I'll take a 5 billion hit from that.
If I was you, I'd be like, no, if I'm getting 5 million, I'll edit it.
Oh, right. Editing a Zoom podcast.
Anyway. Okay. We love the Knives Out films.
Yes, we do.
We did half an episode on Glass Onion when that came out.
I'm actually so sad that Glass Onion is a Netflix thing, because odds are they're not going to have a physical release of it.
No, they should. Really, they do physical releases of some Netflix things. It's rare.
Some,
it does happen. And
it's
been
a while, though, hasn't it?
I don't, like, if stuff is winning awards, like something like Power of the Dog or stuff like that, which was relatively recently, that gets physical releases.
You saw a physical release of Power of the Dog?
I know it's out there. It's out there somewhere. Anyway. So you want to start with plot, cast?
I think we should start with plot.
Mm-hmm.
So we both have two separate plots.
I don't really.
Don't have, you have like a base, like a.
Yeah,
like
I have maybe ideas. Yeah.
Okay, so we were both had to like brainstorm at least one idea of what we want this next movie to be. And I think if we have an idea of what like the plot of the movie is, mm-hmm. saying yes or no to certain actors would be beneficial.
Okay, that works. Also, can I add in a caveat before we get into plot, actually? Should we just say some things that we think is essential to a Knives Out film? Because I think there are some shared factors between the first two films that should be kept.
Yes, I agree with you. So I'm just going to write this down in my notes real quick.
Firstly,
Knives Out Essentials.
Firstly, I think it should be a group of entitled rich people. I don't think it has to be a massive plot point, but I think that is an essential element to both of the first two films. And I think we should keep that.
Okay.
Would you agree that?
Yeah.
That you get a group of entitled rich people in your Knives Out. trying to think what other similarities. So I would say Knives Out is a very autumn-y film, or as you would call it, fall. And Glass Onion is a very summery film.
You know what? I gotta give you this.
Mm-hmm.
Autumn makes more sense.
Thank you.
Autumn makes
it's more called sense. Fall because the leaves. Fall is dumb. I think this film should have like a strong aesthetic linked to a season. So it can be a very wintry or very springy film.
I want to be, but I hate spring. I hate spring.
Do you?
Spring is my least favorite season. I get allergies.
Okay, so do I. I think autumn might be my least favorite.
Really? I love fall.
Because the leaves.
No, that's the best like time for like to wear clothes.
Yeah, nah. I think spring's the best time to wear. It's a dumb sentence.
Anyway, actually, winter is technically the best time to wear clothes because otherwise you'd be very cold.
That's true. It's very true. Or I think just wear clothes for most. I mean, if you're in public, wear clothes. Base rule there. Okay.
But right now?
I'm not in public. Filter. So tie it to a season.
Tied to season. Okay.
Is there anything else that you think?
No.
Obviously, like a murder and a whodunit, like that goes without saying.
Right.
Okay, here's something I think is an element in both films, and we can make this as specific as it is in both films, or we can broaden it and keep the general idea.
Mm-hmm.
In both films, there's a... I don't want to use the word downtrodden, but that's the best word I can think of.
A what?
Downtrodden. So like a cast... There's a cast aside female character who is like... not the victim of this, but like a victim to the rich people, and they work as Benoit Blanc's quote-unquote sidekick. So in the first film, we have Ana de Armas, who is not as rich as everyone else. She's like an illegal immigrant, or her mother is. And the family, when she gets the money, like try and turn on her. And then you get, I can't remember the character's name, Andy, or her sister Helen, who has been ousted unfairly from the company. So I think what we need is, as part of the group, you need an outsider who can help Benoit Blanc and is likable, unlike everyone else who is fairly unlikable.
So I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
However, the outsider is usually like the guy that ends up saving the day.
Yeah.
So I think it needs to be different. Because if that happens again, it's going to be boring. Exactly.
I think we just need... Because the whole kind of point is that within the group of people, everyone is a suspect and they're all largely unlikable. And I think we just need an outsider that is likable mm-hmm. and helps Benoit. And I think if you keep it to that, they don't... What's that?
Do you hear the garbage truck outside my house right now?
No.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. I think you just need an outsider who's likable that helps Benoit.
Yes. Okay. So outsider. All right. So that's three: group of entitled rich people tied to a season and an outsider.
Yeah. Anything else you can think of?
Not necessarily.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt needs
it. Oh, we actually... Joseph Gordon-Levitt and...
I can't remember the other guy's name.
And the other guy, I'll just put. All right.
And write this down. Benoit Blanc wears the most killer outfits you've ever seen.
Benoit Blanc. Straight up. Styling. Okay. So, should we get into our pitches for the general plot?
You give me a pitch. Imagine
okay, so my pitch.
I am a producer at Netflix.
Okay. So
Sorry, I'm just gonna set the scene. You walk in and I've got my assistant next to me. Okay, cancel Three random shows. Okay, what's your pitch?
They're all on their third season.
Yeah, just give me a list of shows, throw a dartboard. Whatever I hit, cancel it.
Stranger Things is the bullseye, so you don't want to avoid that. So, my pitch. So, Benoit Blanc is invited to the set of the new big Hollywood movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the story of one of his mysteries.
Okay, I like that.
So that's the idea. And then, but then mysteriously, people start dying. And you have to figure out why.
Good, that's my idea. That is one I've seen. Yeah, I like that. I think that works.
But you've seen that around? Because that was 100% my own brain.
No, not... I've seen movie set ideas. I haven't seen a movie of his.
Right, okay.
Mystery. I think that works. I think what works is each film adds a little bit to the myth of Benoit Blanc, because we don't know loads about him.
Mm-hmm.
And each film just gives us like hints and bits of who this fella is. And I like adding more to that.
Right. I like adding more to it. How, especially in the second one, they add more to it without like making it, okay, now it's time to learn about Benoit Blanc. Yeah, it's just
exactly.
It's because
all the people within the story know a lot more than we do, because mm-hmm. Benoit Blanc is seemingly a household name, which is bizarre, because who can name a detective?
Right. Okay.
Group Batman. Apart from
now,
that.
Now we swap sides. Now I'm Hulu.
Okay, Hulu. Oh,
yeah.
Ryan Johnson is branching out.
Wait, no. You don't have Hulu. Now I'm Amazon Prime.
Okay. Spend $200 billion on Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Okay. My idea, just because I was thinking wintry, I was thinking Benoit Blanc is on holiday at a ski resort, and then some moidos start happening, and maybe they're like snowed in.
Okay.
I think I'm happy to go with your idea, though, if we can answer some questions.
We can answer questions.
What if?
Okay. No.
Okay, I have an idea.
What's your idea?
The film is being shot on location at a ski resort where Ben has previously solved a murder.
Yes.
But there is a big question that I think we should at least attempt to answer.
Which is?
The two Knives Out films have both subverted the mystery genre in interesting ways.
Mm-hmm.
Can us two nobodies think of a third way?
We can try.
And if not, we can... The thing is, both... The first two films are conventional whodunits, just told in an interesting way, mm-hmm. I think. So I think if we can't think of anything, we can just tell what the conventional murder is, and then Rian Johnson can tell it how he wants, and that's why he gets half and we don't get
but
half.
But wouldn't it be interesting if, like, because it's interesting because they're making a movie about a conventional murder mystery,
mm-hmm.
So it's, I think just the way the plot of the movie is set up is subverting.
That's it. I don't think you watched, but this is very similar to See How They Run.
Yeah, I've never seen See How They Run.
Yeah, where the plot of that, I won't spoil it, is there is a stage show whodunit, and then people in the stage show whodunit do start to die.
Okay, so I need what your job is. To make sure it stays as far away as See How They Run as possible.
So my idea would be you do something kind of like Scream films where someone is trying to recreate the murders.
Okay.
What if... Okay, this is a bit out there. This is the only case Benoit Blanc hasn't solved, this ski resort one, and they're making a film about the mystery of it. And then as he's solving it, he figures out the previous crime. As he's like on set solving the new murders, I don't think it would work.
Or how about it's he realizes it's one he thinks he solved, but as he's going through it, he realizes he didn't actually solve it. And
so do we get flashbacks with a different cast, or I think that's too much to it.
I think we should avoid flashbacks as much as possible.
Glass Onion did have about a 40-minute long flashback.
That's true. They did. No, but
that as my biggest complaint with Glass Onion, which we wouldn't have talked about last time because this is an issue I've had on rewatches, is just when you've already seen the film, that half an hour long flashback does get a bit dull.
Yeah. That's what I said. I said this before. Knives Out, Glass Onion isn't as good on rewatch as compared to the first one.
Yeah. But like, it's still great.
But the first one also has flashbacks, to be fair.
Yeah, but not of the film itself. Where Glass Onion kind of just goes through the entire like film again from a different perspective. Oh,
yeah. Okay, so here's what I think we should do for the cast. Before we start dropping names, we should get like the characters down. So like we need the director, we need the star, the producers, just because I feel like...
But I think also we'd be flexible with that. And then, so if there's a name we really like, we can find a role for them. So we
exactly. Okay. So, but I think it would just be easier when we're throwing out names. Yes. Like, oh, they would work really good for this.
So director, obviously.
Okay.
Okay, here's an issue I've just thought of. I want if you've got any suggestions of how to resolve this.
Okay.
Would we lose something if this isn't a group of like closely knit people? Maybe we can say they've been shooting the film for like a couple months already.
I think
just say they've been shooting the film for like a month already and they're friends.
Yeah. And also like some of the names will be like I think it would be interesting if like just like a Knives Out movie, there's like the big name actors that have probably worked with each other in the past, and then there's like the little guys, and then there's that sort of dynamic. It could be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so director, I think we need an A-list snobby star.
A-list snob.
A beautiful, stupid actress.
Okay.
And here's an important one. The guy playing Benoit Blanc. Maybe the producer's there.
Oh, I have a really good idea for the guy who plays Benoit Blanc. For this.
I'm excited to hear it. Daniel Craig.
Producer one, and I'll put producer two.
Yeah.
Sort of like the cops in the first one.
A couple unknown. Like an up-and-comer actor / actress. And then let's chuck in a cinematographer just for a bit of fun. Just to add some colour. Or something like that. I think we need like a more lesser known film.
Oh, can I under A-list snob, can I put competitive B+ snob?
Yes, sure. How many names is this? So in the first film, they have a cast of 10 other than Daniel Craig and the detectives. And in the second film, they have 8. So I think somewhere around the 8 to 10 range is ideal.
It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And wait, hold on.
I think maybe just do one producer and then.
It's 9.
Okay. I'd say maybe.
Wait, one... no, it's 10. It's 10.
I'd say maybe one producer and then chuck in an assistant to the A-list star or something like that.
And then assistant. Also, I think there should also be just like a couple who is also snowed in at the lodge. Like they were able to get a room in time and they wanted to go to a ski resort and then they're just stuck with these actors.
What if it's... What if there's their like fans who are there and then they get snowed in?
Yeah, so I'll...
I don't know if that, how that fits into the dynamic of the group that well.
Okay, maybe we'll just leave it alone. We'll leave it alone.
Okay, I think we need to figure out first who the outsider is, who the victim is, and who the murderer is.
Okay. I think we should cast them first because, like, let's say, you know, because, like, certain stars are more likable than others. And if we make, like, the assistant somebody unlikable, but we want that to be the outsider, it's going to be...
That works, yeah.
A little weird.
Okay, I do have one more question.
Yes.
This is to do with casting.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of people ask for online, and I'm mixed about it.
Okay.
Do we make one of the main cast members Hugh Grant?
No.
Do you not think it would be fun to for like Benoit to take his husband with him to the film set about him?
Oh, well, yeah. I thought you were meaning like we make him one of the like the director or something, no, like a new role.
We give his husband a role in the story. Is that the thing is, I think it would be fun to see more like to see that on screen, see that pairing on screen, but also does it take away from some of the mystery of Benoit?
Well, we want less mystery. Just a little bit.
You want some mystery. You don't want to give it all away in the third film.
Right.
It would be a bit like out of place if like the first two films you know nothing about him. And then the third one is a bit.
I think.
We'd at least give him a small role, but
let's say we will. And then come down the line if we're like, this isn't working, we can cut it.
Okay. Yeah. So do you want to add?
I'll just put Hugh Grant.
This is his character's name.
Okay, so.
How many
are we ready to? So with that, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
So that's one more than the original Knives Out, which is fine.
Yeah.
Because Hugh Grant is a suspect anyway.
Right. Okay. So. Who should the director be? Let's do that. Let's do it this way. Okay. So we look at our list.
First, we just need to say we're trying to cast only a couple of mega stars and then the rest.
Yeah.
I don't know. I struggled like B-listers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Can't cast 10 Chris Evans.
I do think I have a pretty, pretty spot on idea for the director.
Go on.
Hear me out.
I have an idea, Joe. You say yours first.
Brendan Fraser.
That wasn't going to be my choice.
What's your choice?
I don't know if my choice is too on the nose.
Is it Rian Johnston?
Jordan Peele. Because Jordan Peele is a good actor and he's a good director. I think it could be fun.
Yeah, I'm with you on Jordan Peele because he's really good at comedy. Brendan Fraser's good at comedy.
Yeah.
But Jordan Peele did Key and Peele.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be, I'm down with Jordan Peele for the director.
I think that'd be fun.
Okay. So director, Jordan Peele. Okay, now we're going to A-list snob.
Okay, so we want someone youngish.
Where does Jordan Peele fall into? Is he an A-list for you?
No, he's not a megastar, is he? He's not.
Okay, Chris he's Evans. Not.
I think Chris Evans, Edward Norton is kind of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I think he's, yeah. Okay, A-list star. Are we going? So I would say a guy in the like 30s, 20s, 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any suggestions? Because looking at my list, no one immediately jumps out.
Nobody immediately jumps out.
I've got... You could do... I wrote down Daniel Radcliffe. I think he would be good, but I don't think this is the role for him.
Mm-mm. I
want someone conventionally attractive, tall. Adam Driver?
Yeah. What Brad Pitt?
Yeah, what I was about to say is, would we want our A-list star playing the A-list star, or is that too on the nose? Would we want one of our lesser knowns? I don't know.
Jamie Foxx?
Jamie Foxx. Yeah. Jamie Foxx is fun. Okay. I've got Steven Yeun. I think he could work. Oh, okay. There is a name on my list who I really want to be in this film. I don't know if this is the role for him, though. Any guesses who I'm going to say?
Ryan Gosling?
No.
Andrew Garfield?
Oh, maybe Andrew Garfield's the. I that reckon that really works.
I'm more than willing. I feel like I would hate to see him as like a jerk, but
I
you
think he'd
think
do it really well.
okay, we'll
I
put
haven't
Andrew
seen him.
Garfield
Have I
there.
seen him play a jerk?
No, he
No.
always plays like the moral good in every
But I
movie.
think he'd do really good. Okay. And Andrew Garfield. I think Andrew Garfield is an A-lister.
Yes, he is. That is, he was on my A-list.
Edward Norton. So he's one of our A-listers. Okay. What's next?
Wait, who was the actor that you really wanted?
I was going to say Sam Rockwell. I want him to fit in here somewhere.
He could be a good competitive B plus list snob.
Yeah, but would you want someone more Andrew Garfield's age, or would Sam Rockwell work?
I
Because I
think
think
if he was older, that'd be funnier.
yeah, Sam Rockwell being the competitive one, yeah.
And also, if he was older and jealous of this younger kid's success, he would be like the prime suspect for the murder.
What if he is an aging star, so he was once big and like he's kind of fallen off times, so he
We could
like
make a good, like, at least, like, he was set up to be a big part of a movie universe, but then they just forgot about him.
yeah he chose a couple bad roles.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works. I
Okay,
love Sam Rockwell. Okay,
so are we good with that?
yeah, and Sam Rockwell's not an A-lister, so that's good.
No. Okay. Beautiful, stupid actress.
What actresses do I have down? You could maybe not lean into the stupid so much, but I've got Kiki Palmer. I don't know that would
I
work.
have Keke Palmer as well.
He has already worked with Jordan Peele. Is that two on the nose?
I don't.
I think it works. My other option is Amy Adams. I thought it would be good in this.
Yeah. See, I have, that's a big name though. I have Florence Pugh, I don't think she'd really work with that.
No. What about Tessa Thompson? No.
I don't know if I like the idea of it being a like a ditzy actress.
Okay.
I think that's a little bit too cheap.
Okay, so what is the actress's role?
It's a good
What about
question.
snobbish?
Snobbish? Well,
Or is that too close to the A-lister?
yeah, because they're both kind of snobbish, but we can't just like, this is
They are
tricky.
supposed to be unlikable, is the thing. So obviously,
Yes.
maybe not snobbish. Unless this is the relatable character we're going for.
Maybe we could do like sort of like an Amy Schumer thing. Like everybody hates Amy Schumer and she's trying to make this a movie like as her big comeback.
I was going to say the opposite of maybe someone like a Daisy, like not. I'm not saying Daisy Ridley. I'm saying someone who's in a similar position to Daisy Ridley, where they've been like ousted for no good reason and they're trying to make a comeback, and that can be our likable outsider.
So then I think that changes it entirely because all the names we've said I think work. We could do Stephanie, I don't know, I'm probably gonna say this wrong. Hsu?
Yes. Yeah.
I want to see her in this movie somehow.
Yeah. She's for those who don't know, she's the villain in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Lupita Nyong'o, Kiki Palmer, I think works. Florence Pugh works, but Florence Pugh's an A-lister.
Yeah, I don't think you want Florence Pugh. I reckon I'm still free. I think Kiki Palmer maybe.
I think Kiki Palmer would work with this.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do Kiki Palmer.
Especially because she was on both of our lists.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we're onto the Benoit Blanc actor.
Okay.
Hear me out. This one's a little bit on the nose. Pierce Brosnan.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, it's on the... I think that's two on the nose.
I think it would work, though.
Yeah, it would.
Could you imagine how funny it would be to hear him trying to do the Benoit Blanc accent?
I think it would work, but I think... I think it's not Knives Out style. Like, it would work in a different film.
So who do you propose?
I don't know. It's difficult because it is such a...
Jamie Foxx. Ryan Gosling? Because it is a younger Benoit Blanc.
Yeah, but I don't... He's also very much an A-lister, and I... I think you want to go instead of someone similar to Daniel Craig. And I think a good joke could just be them following around trying to do the accent.
Yeah, but who should it be?
Maybe this is the other A-list you want. I don't. I think Pierce Brosnan's funny, but I'm just not sure if that is too on the nose. You get
Brad Pitt,
Richard, what's his name from Eternals?
Madden,
yeah.
Why him?
He's British, he reminds me of Daniel Craig for some reason.
I think for this, I think this should be the second A-list actor because.
Okay.
I think the audience would really enjoy being like, oh my god, I know him and he's being so silly.
I was going to pitch the producers that, but we can do that. Okay, other A-lister. Ryan Gosling works. I don't know if Ryan Gosling would work in the Knives Out film. I don't know if he works in this part.
Ryan Gosling, favorite actor.
Yeah.
But he's not big.
He's 100% up there for me.
He's not like... Yeah. His acting is very subtle.
Yeah. I mean, wait till we see Barbie. But yeah.
How about we come back to this one?
Yeah, it's a tricky one to do, so let's come back to it.
Okay, producer.
I've got two pitches for you. One is A-lister, one is non-A-lister.
Okay.
We want an old white guy.
Okay.
First up, Michael Keaton.
I like it.
I think he could play good, like...
Is he your A-lister?
Yes. I think he's an A-lister, isn't he? Yeah, Michael Keaton. Like a businessy jerk.
Yeah, I like Michael Keaton. Who's your other idea?
Bob Odenkirk. Because he does comedy so well, obviously. But also, he does this kind of serious stuff also really well.
What if Bob Odenkirk was Benoit Blanc?
He's too old, I think. Is Bob Odenkirk older than Daniel Craig? Because if he is, I think he's too old. That's a good choice. Or maybe that's what we want, though. So he's 60. That's not a bad choice.
I reckon we can do that.
It's okay. 60. So he's 6 years older. It's not a bad shout.
He'd be super funny.
Yeah, okay. Let's go Bob Odenkirk as Daniel Craig.
I think that's so stupid. It's perfect.
And I think people would still really enjoy that as Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah. And so producer one, Michael Keaton. Or just producer.
Are we saying Michael Keaton?
Yeah, I'm good with that. Are you good with that?
Other old white men you like?
Nope.
Nope, don't like any old white men.
I hate them all.
I'm trying to think if I... Yeah, okay, that's cool.
So now we're on to upcoming actor. What'd you say?
Is that our two A-listers used up?
I wouldn't consider Michael Keaton an A-lister, personally.
Okay. Yeah, okay. We can have a third if we want a third, but we don't need one.
He's like a B-plus tier, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, okay.
You can't say Michael Keaton to Chris Evans.
He's not a Chris Evans, but I think he is an Ed Norton. And a Jamie... I think he's a Jamie Lee Curtis. I think he's an Ed Norton. So I'm saying we can have a third, but we don't need one.
Okay. Upcoming actor.
Or actress.
First one should be Stephanie Hsu.
Yeah.
You agree with that? I'm putting that down for one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this next upcoming actor.
Who should I have? John Boyega?
Sure.
I don't think he's in enough stuff. I think he's really good. He's young.
Me too. Okay, cool. Cinematographer.
Oh. Hmm.
Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah. I also have her on my list, but I don't know if this is the role for her.
We could do...
I was gonna suggest Daniel Radcliffe. If you make them a bit more like Craze and a bit like the guy in Nope. As we're talking Jordan Peele.
Okay, well, I'm going to put a pause on that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I really want Ryan Gosling in this movie.
Okay.
And I think he'll be funny as the assistant.
Yeah. Is he too attractive?
I think that could be a play on things.
Okay.
And I think he'd be do really well as, like, awkward and running out of places and kind of being in the background.
Yeah.
I think it could be really funny.
Okay, Andrew Garfield's assistant is that?
Yeah, that would be, and maybe they could hint that there might be like some sort of like intimate relationship between the two, but they never actually address it.
Yeah,
I'm just fulfilling my personal fantasies.
And they address it, and we see it.
Yes, yes.
Rated R.
So can we put the assistant down as Ryan Gosling?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we have Ryan Gosling and Michael Keaton combined to make an A-lister. So I think we have used up all our A-lister points.
Mm-hmm. So cinematographer.
I'm trying to think. So in the original two films.
Yes.
They've gone for a few sitcom actors.
Sitcom, you said?
Yeah. Like Catherine Hahn, people like that from sitcoms. Is there someone who jumps out to you who
does Neil Patrick Harris?
I think he's too big.
Yeah, he's
too big. Also, it's just another white guy that looks the same.
Jennifer Coolidge?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. What about
Steven Yeun?
Okay, this actually isn't an A-lister. That I think we can't do two Jordan Peele people.
What?
Because we did Kiki Palmer, didn't we?
Yeah.
And Steven Yeun was also in Nope.
Oh, that's right. He was.
I think that's overloading it. What about, this isn't a sitcom person, Brian Tyree Henry?
Oh, yeah. I'd be down to do him.
For those who don't know, what's he known for?
Like he was Lemon
in Spider-Verse.
He was Lemon in Bullet Train.
He was Fastos in Eternals.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that fills out our list.
Yes.
So do you want me to run through them real quick?
Yes. Before we say that, I think we just give Hugh Grant a small part to play here.
Okay.
No,
ready?
Yes.
We have As a director of the fake movie, Jordan Peele.
Mm-hmm.
The A-list snob is Andrew Garfield. Mm-hmm. The assistant to the A-list snob is Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
The competitive B-plus list snob is Sam Rockwell. The actress that's trying to make this her big comeback is Kiki Palmer. Benoit Blanc actor is Bob Odenkirk. The producer of the movie is Michael Keaton. The two upcoming actors are Stephanie Hsu and John Boyega. The cinematographer is Brian Tyree Henry. And Hugh Grant plays a small part. And then we have Benoit Blanc being played by Daniel Craig.
Okay, Craig. What if...
Craig.
He says Craig.
Yeah, well, he's talked stupid, so it's okay.
What? What if... I love how you say his English accent is stupid, as if his American accent is any better.
What if what?
Did you... This is just an idea I had. What if in the flashbacks, we have very like brief fleeting flashbacks to the original murder the film is based off.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, you get Joseph Gordon-Levitt and the other guy.
You get Joseph Gordon-Levitt as...
Like either the victim or the guy that was the killer.
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Okay. So now... But now I've realized both films had two victims and a outsider and a murderer. Are we going to stick to that? So you have the initial... I think two victims work in the plot both times because you have the initial death.
Mm-hmm.
And then as things escalate, you get a second one. And that's like the entryway into the third act.
Okay, so we have Kiki Palmer as the outsider. That's what we want as the outsider, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
so. And we need two people killed.
And I think Kiki Palmer, for lack of a better word, can be a bit more of a like a sassy outsider, because I think both Janelle Monáe and Ana de Armas are kind of naive and going along with things. Where I think Kiki Palmer can argue a bit with Benoit.
Also, I think if Bob Odenkirk always was like stepping on the actual Benoit Blanc's toes for the entire movie, being like, no, I think it was this person.
Okay. The second victim is Bob Odenkirk being killed, being mistaken for Benoit Blanc.
Mm, yes.
So the murderer is like, I need to kill Benoit Blanc to stop this. And then from behind, he's like wearing the exact Benoit Blanc outfit. And can we put Bob Odenkirk in like Saul Goodman outfits, just really over the top, trying to look like Benoit Blanc?
Sure. Okay, so we have Kiki Palmer's the outsider.
Mm-hmm.
Benoit Blanc actor is killed.
Yeah.
Who's the other person that's killed?
I think we decide the murderer first.
The murderer.
Mm-hmm. And my instinct tells me Ryan Gosling. Both times they've gone for one of the big names as the murderer and someone you would expect to be the murderer, and it's worked both times. I think Ryan Gosling, if you give him a Chris Evans rant at the end, would be a lot of fun.
It would be fun, but I'm just thinking, right? You come into this movie,
mm-hmm.
you see the A-list snob and the assistant he treats like crap.
Yeah.
Then somebody dies.
I think it depends who dies.
But we have...
Actually, can I say who the other victim should be? What if it's Jordan Peele?
Why?
I don't know.
Because here's... If it's Ryan Gosling...
Mm-hmm.
We could make it where the director says, gives the Andrew Garfield a note that he doesn't like, and then Ryan Gosling goes and kills the director. And that could be like some sort of motivation, but
So both times,
I don't want it to be obvious.
Both times the murderer has been the most obvious person, though. Like, Chris Evans and Edward Norton are the worst dudes in both films.
That's true, but also both times the movies have gotten me, and I was like, oh, I should have seen it coming, because I'm
No,
an
exactly.
idiot
That's my point.
moviegoer.
Like, it is the most obvious one, but they tell it in a way. What if I reckon I've changed, I'm maybe Andrew Garfield's the murderer. I think that could be fun.
Okay.
And you have Gosling turn on him in the third act.
How about they're both the murderers at the very end, like towards the end? Ryan Gosling gets sick of Andrew Garfield telling him what to do and making him kill all these people, and then he kills him.
What if Andrew Garfield kills the first whoever?
Okay.
Ryan Gosling figures that out and then kills Benoit Blanc, for those audio listeners, I did air quotes, to
Okay.
try and help him out, and then both of them are caught. Or Andrew Gar okay. And then so he kills Benoit Blanc. Andrew Garfield realizes that and then tries to frame Ryan Gosling for both murders. Well, what if he just tries to, Ryan Gosling doesn't do any murders and Andrew Garfield tries to frame him for both murders, and it looks very obvious that it was Ryan Gosling.
So this brings me to my one gripe. I would, if it was a big Andrew Garfield monologue at the end or a big Ryan Gosling monologue, I really want the Ryan Gosling monologue more.
I think both would be fun.
Would be fun.
I think you can give Ryan Gosling other fun stuff to do.
Oh, you know what? Actually, here's what I think would be fun. The two actors are alive at the end, and Benoit Blanc doesn't know which one it is. So we have sort of like, you know, like in like the classic trope of like there's like a person and then a clone of the person, and they're both trying to convince whoever that they are not the clone. Sort of like that sort of a thing, because then we get both.
That's what I mean, where Andrew Garfield tries to frame Ryan Gosling.
Right, but. I think we should do that.
I
And
think,
like you as the audience, you don't know who's right either.
yeah. What
I think
if?
that'd be interesting. You reckon we should do that?
Yeah, I th also think Sam Rockwell should die.
How should he? Should he just accidentally like? How should he die?
Well, no, he's the first victim, I mean.
Oh, okay.
I think that's fun. Just to, he can be a bit of a klutzy, you know, and like he's just, you feel sorry for him the entire time because he's like, he's been thrown aside as an actor. And like he's past his heyday, and then he's dead.
Okay, so. All that. And now we have to factor in everybody else. Because we have. Then how does Kiki Palmer work as the outsider?
I think maybe the entire shoot has been delayed or whatever, and now they're snowed into this ski resort and everything is just not going well. And she's the only professional who's like, I just want to make this movie and get out of here. I don't care about fame or who's getting paid more than who. And then, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe she discovers the body. Like she, as somebody who was kind of cast out aside from Hollywood, goes to Sam
What
Rockwell.
if, okay, no, hit. Okay, what if
What if?
she receives death threats? Like she gets a letter, kind of like, because just kind of like Ana de Armas in the first film gets the letter threatening to like leak the documents. What if she gets threatening notes through being like, oh, like sacrifice your pay or like ask for less screen time or something like that.
Yeah, but maybe the media is calling this movie like this actress's big comeback, and then Andrew Garfield is angry because he's the star of the movie.
Yeah, I still feel like you need more of a motivation to kill Sam Rockwell rather than I want to be a bigger part in this film.
Well, I think Sam Rockwell could die because he keeps trashing Andrew Garfield and asking for more takes and stepping on his toes.
Yeah, I think those
And
two just have an argument that goes out of control. And like
yes.
it's not a planned murder like the other films. It's manslaughter. But
But
then
how do we feel about Kiki Palmer discovering the body and then alerting Benoit
I
Blanc?
don't know if that is enough of a link for her to be the out like Benoit Blanc's little detective assistant.
Right, you're correct, but it is a potential start to a relationship.
Yeah, but then I just think what is the thing that is there something that she has? Is there like a skill she has? Is there
I think it would be
because
interesting if it's like she has worked with everybody here. Like she knows everybody.
yeah, I think because like Ana de Armas kind of worked because she couldn't lie and she had this insider information about the death that Daniel Craig knew she was hiding, and then Janelle Monáe works because obviously her and Daniel Craig are going there in secret. Once again, Janelle Monáe knows more than anyone else.
She knows everything about everybody, and then she has the X factor of maybe we could do it like she's like the biggest Benoit Blanc fan,
Yeah,
and
she's the one that's done her actual proper research. She's not
right.
a fan, but she's just a proper actress who has done all the research and knows all about his cases and everything. And maybe she's the one that puts doubt in Benoit's mind about the previous crime. And she, like, Benoit is impressed with, like, so at the very start of the film, before there's any murders, she comes up. Everyone, like, is annoying Benoit. Like Bob Odenkirk is just asking him to say things so Bob Odenkirk can repeat it in the voice.
Yes.
And then she comes up and asks like an intelligent question about the original murder. And then he's like, oh, I like this woman. And then as it goes on, I don't think she can put doubt in his mind straight away because he is supposed to be the world's greatest detective. But
Right.
I think as the film progresses, he's like, because of something she said that she didn't realize was so helpful, he slowly becomes more interested. And
Okay.
I think he would also like her because, as we said, she fights back a bit more and she sticks up for herself a bit more
Right.
in the right way.
Ooh, I actually like this movie now. Okay, so
Okay,
we
before we
have that.
continue, I do have a really essential thing that I can't believe we've tried yet.
What?
We both need to do our Benoit Blanc voice.
Okay, you go first.
Well, Halle Berry, that's got a kick. That's the first line I thought
Oh, I can't think of any.
of.
Like a donut.
I was about to go. That was a. It's like a dot. I was about to go. This has many
Oh,
layers which you peel back, but the center is clear as day.
the hand movement.
Yeah, it's a, we look at it as a donut,
Oh, it's just dumb.
but under closer inspection, the center of
Silly.
this hole is a smaller donut. Sometimes, if I'm watching it, I could do a pretty good job.
Okay. I think we did pretty
Okay,
good
no,
there.
okay. What if Benoit Blanc? So it's a French name. What if he's actually from nearer to France than the south of He's not from France, but he's from nearer to France than the south of America. What do you think?
No. No, he should be from America.
No, what would he sound like if he was from near France, though?
Oh! Mamma mia, it's like a donut hole in inside another donut hole.
I like to cut up the glass onion and put it in my spaghetti.
Pretty good. Okay. So, we have plot for Andrew Garfield, Sam Rockwell, Kiki Palmer, Bob Odenkirk, and Benoit Blanc, the actual Benoit Blanc.
Yeah.
We still need plot. Oh, and Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
We still need plot for the director,
mm-hmm.
the producer, Michael Keaton, the two upcoming actors, and Hugh Grant, and Brian Tyree Henry, the cinematographer.
Do you think it would be pretty funny if Jordan Peele... So I think Jordan Peele and Brian Tyree Henry are a pair that work together a lot.
Yes.
And I think it'll be funny if Jordan Peele is a crap director. Like he's like a Michael Bay, where he just makes successful but crap films. I think that's funny to give that part to Jordan Peele, because obviously Jordan Peele is a phenomenal director.
Right.
And just having him be a bit schlocky is funny. And I think Brian Tyree Henry takes it very seriously and is a bit too much of a perfectionist. And he keeps getting annoyed with Sam Rockwell for like standing in the wrong place or disagreeing with what they have in mind.
So what should those two's arc be over the movie?
So I think what we should ask is what makes them suspects.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Brian Tyree Henry is a suspect because
he gets so frustrated
and Sam Rockwell keeps messing up.
Right.
And maybe Jordan Peele finds out that they've been complaining about him to the producer. That Sam Rockwell was complaining about him to the producer, trying to get him fired.
I think it would be funny if everybody hated the director.
Yeah.
Like it was just like a thing that everybody hated him.
But Sam Rockwell was the one that reported him to the producer. So right. Trying to get him fired.
Then Michael, what happens to Michael Keaton? What happens to him in this movie?
Is he, I don't know if he's a suspect or more. What if he's only upset at the time because Benoit Blanc's only wants to show him around, and then they get snowed in? And he's like, and then, and he, why would Michael Keaton want to kill Sam Rockwell? Two Marvel villains.
It could be a thing of he didn't want to be in this movie, but they had a contract with the studio.
What if Sam Rockwell is causing issues and it's annoying everyone? It's like, it's annoying the cinematographer. It's annoying the cinematographer that he's messing up the shots. It's annoying the director that he's reporting him. The producer wants the movie to get done faster, but Sam Rockwell's slowing them down. He's like always arguing with Andrew Garfield.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I like those. I like that idea.
What about Odenkirk? What makes him a potential suspect? I mean, he's not a potential.
He's dead.
Yeah, he dies. But he's in the film for a bit, so I think he needs to have some beef with everyone.
Well, I think Benoit Blanc hates him.
Yeah.
Like, this is a movie he hates the most.
What if he's just the idiot? He's just an idiot.
No, he should be an idiot. He should be the Jared Leto of the movie.
He's always in character.
Yes.
And then he's like, I do not sound like that. And then he just keeps like quoting like random catchphrases from the previous film. Like he goes, Halle Berry.
I think it'd be funny if he says donut hole like 18 times.
Yeah.
Like there's literally donuts at like the set, like the
on the craft table.
Yeah.
There's a donut hole inside of a donut hole.
Okay, I like that idea.
Yeah.
So then we have John Boyega and do you know how to say Stephanie?
I don't.
Suze? Okay. I'm so sorry, Stephanie, if you're watching this.
Which are you are.
Yes, which you are, 100%. Okay.
So, because everyone cast in this film is going to have to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this.
What do the upcoming actors do?
I think Sam Rockwell is just stealing limelight off both of them in different ways. Like, he's trying to take, he's like, oh, I think it would work better if I have these lines to one of them, and the other one, he's kind of.
I think he should be like, I think if anything, he should be almost like, he should be perverted towards Stephanie and taking all of John Boyega's things.
I think is putting him as a bit perverted, a bit
too unlikable.
Yeah. I think that might be too far, because we want him to be unlikable, but not
awful.
Yeah. So what if he's trying to take screen time off one of them and keeps criticizing how the other one's doing? What if he's just a bit sexist towards Stephanie and he's like, come on, honey, that's not, you can do this better.
Yeah.
But he's just a bit mildly sexist.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we have enough?
Yes.
Okay. Should we pause, get a summary up, and then...
Sounds good.
Explain? Okay.
We have been off to our ski resort to write this film. We thought we needed a writer's retreat. Sadly, we were snowed in while we were there, and there were a few murders, but Daniel Craig was there. It's all cleared up. We figured out our plot for Knives Out 3. Before we get into the plot, do you want to just run through the cast one more time quickly?
Sure. So, we have Jordan Peele as the director of the movie. We have Brian Tyree Henry as the cinematographer. The A-list snob is Andrew Garfield. The B-plus list snob is Stan Rockwell. The actress that's trying to make her big comeback is Kiki Palmer. The actor who's playing Benoit Blanc is Bob Odenkirk. The producer is Michael Keaton. The two upcoming actors are John Boyega and Stephanie Hsu. The assistant is Ryan Gosling, and Hugh Grant makes a special cameo in the beginning.
Yes, and do you want to regale us with our rough plot of this film?
Okay, are you ready?
Quick, obviously, this film will be made. Netflix are going to buy it off us.
So yep.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
Or Knives Out 3, which hasn't
started. Sorry, guys. Okay. Movie opens with Benoit Blanc saying goodbye to Hugh Grant. Producer escorts him to the ski lodge where he meets the entire cast. We then get a scene. We get a scene of the movie where we see like Sam Rockwell stepping on everyone's toes and Brian Gig annoyed at the stupid director. What'd you say?
The film is a film about a previous Benoit Blanc murder
that took place at the exact same ski lodge.
Yeah.
Afterwards, after they're done shooting the scene, everyone comes up and says hi to Benoit. And while they're doing that, they allude to the original murder to kind of clue in the audience that there was a murder here. But he's annoyed by everybody aside from Kiki Palmer, who actually intrigues him and asks him intellectual questions.
And he's especially annoyed by Bob Odenkirk. I think this is a very important note.
Yes, Bob Odenkirk is the Jared Leto of the movie.
He's playing Benoit Blanc, and he just stays in character the entire time and tries to do the dumb accent.
Yes. And also the two upcoming actors are too scared to say hi to him, so they don't.
Yeah.
Then it's bedtime, and when they're when they wake up, they're not only snowed in, but Sam Rockwell is dead.
There's been a murder.
Kiki Palmer alerts Benoit of the death. The producer tries to calm everyone down, but everybody just turns to Benoit Blanc because he needs to solve the murder.
Everyone turns to Bob Odenkirk, and they went, oh, wait, no, wrong one. And then...
but then Benoit...
Okay, I'm just adding this in now. It is a running thing in this film that people do, like, run and pat Bob Odenkirk on the back thinking it's Benoit Blanc, and they're like, oh, no.
Yes. That would be silly.
It's good for
Where was I? Then Benoit tries interviewing everybody to get a good read on everybody, but they're too focused on knowing more about the original murder and just talking to a celebrity. And then where was I? And all eyes are pointing to Brian, that he was the murderer, because he's kind of manic and intense. But Benoit doesn't think it's him. Bob points out that it's actually Andrew. But Ryan gives him an alibi. So the fake Benoit thinks, oh, it's Andrew Garfield. He totally did it. And Ryan's like, no, he was with me. The rest of the day is Benoit and Kiki investigating the murder. and Blanc learning more about all these celebrities through Kiki. Then the next night, Bob dies, killed by a prop. Andrew discovers the body and Ryan Gosling's notebook on the scene. So yes. Andrew comes in, he's like,
killed. Bob Odenkirk was killed because they thought it was Benoit Blanc from behind.
Right.
They attacked him from behind, killed him, and they're like, oh no, wrong guy.
And so then they immediately go to Gosling, questioning him, but then Brian comes in with a tape of Garfield stealing the murder weapon offset. And then the two argue about which one's the actual killer, trying to defend themselves. But then Benoit Blanc discovers that Andrew Garfield is framing Gosling the same way Joseph Gordon-Levitt framed Noah Segan in the original murder.
Yes, yeah, so his big monologue is like, this murder is as clear as day, but first we must go back 12 years to the original murder because I've made a fatal flaw.
And then after all of it, Andrew Garfield's like, well, you can't prove that I did anything. And then they're like, but in the notebook, it says you did. And then Andrew Garfield's like, no. And Ryan Gosling is like, yippee.
Yay. And then the film ends with Daniel Craig freeing Noah Segan or Joseph Gordon-Levitt, whoever was wrongly framed for the murder, and locking up the other one.
All right.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty good movie.
Yes. What would you give the current Knives Out trilogy out of 10?
9.
Yeah, 9. 2 films, 2 great films.
Mm-hmm. First one's better.
What would you give Knives Out 3, yet to be titled, maybe called Prop Gun or something like that?
I don't want to toot our own horns, but I think I give it a 9 as well.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I think it does need some Rian Johnson touch-ups to make it a bit more, like to add in the humor and then like subvert it a bit more. But this is a good baseline.
It is.
And a great cast.
And Ryan, if you want to talk to us,
is Rian Johnson and Ryan Gosling. We'll also talk to Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. Obviously, Ryan Gosling.
We want to talk to you about different things.
Yeah. Just making that very clear. But it is $20 million either way. So
30 for me.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah.
And by that, we mean Rian Johnson, you've got to pay us $50 million for the script. We'll pay Ryan Gosling $50 million to talk to him.
Yes. I think that's a fair trade.
Yes. Anyway, next week, we'll be going through The Mandalorian season 1 and 2.
Oh, that's right. I've watched 3 episodes.
I've watched 5. So we'll be recapping it, talking about our favorite episodes and what we want from season 3, because that is just around the corner.
It is just around the corner.
It's like, oh my, it is Din Djarin and his little friend Grogu. Oh no, where's Gina Carano? Oh, she's gone.
Wait, is Pedro Pascal going to be in 2 hit shows at the same time?
Would The Last of Us have ended by then? Because it is like March, it's coming out.
Well, there's 8 episodes of The Last of Us?
Yeah, so it probably would have just stopped. I think March 3rd is the release date of...
I thought it was the 13th.
Oh, okay. It's the 13th then.
It might not be. I remember a 3 in there for sure.
Maybe it was just the 3rd month. This isn't important. This is completely off topic. Anyway, thanks everyone for listening. I'm Googling the release date as we finish up.
March 1st.
March 3rd. There you go. Anyway.
How about that?
Been great to talk to all you wonderful people. Because this
especially
is
you, Ryan.
Which one?
Wink, wink.
Gosling. Okay, cool. And we'll see you next week for the Mandalorian recap.
Yes.
Recap and DeLorean. Adios, everyone. We will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad.
And the recording.
I'm finishing every podcast episode of that now.